The following podcast of The Blitz is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, and you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101.
It's a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Bombshells on 45 and Fuquay. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Rondon being left off.
He's been pretty bad, though, the last couple months. I was a little more surprised that Peacock was left off and Harris was put
Will
on.
Harris, yeah. That's the, Will Harris was the most surprising name that made the roster.
The reality is, if it comes down to winning or losing a game on Will Harris or Joe Smith,
Those guys are pitching when there's a blowout, right, one way or the other.
USA Today broke down the five best deals among college football coaches' contracts and the five worst. Here's your worst deals. Kirk Ferentz.
Oh, yeah. The guy doesn't win.
I don't know that this one's fair, but they have Jimbo Fisher listed on here. Gus Malzahn also on this list.
Kind of the same boat as Fisher.
They have Urban Meyer on this list. How about this one? Lovie Smith.
Remember at the beginning of the season, we both thought that he had gotten fired?
Yeah, well, he was supposed to.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number three, 713-780-ESPN, your number 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page, find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A-J is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show, you know the number for that. We are at Bombshells on Fuquay, and a really cool place. You want to come watch the games tonight? This is the place to do it. You got, if you're in this area, man, they got TVs everywhere. Watch whatever you want. They got a great patio, and it's actually turning into a terrific patio night.
It is nice.
We're getting to that time of year where it's nice to be on the patio. And appreciate being out here. Great food menu, and just a lot of cool stuff going on. I wanted to get back to something because Blake was talking about why these certain teams have a national following. He mentioned the Cardinals, talking about baseball. I think the Cardinals are on that list, like after Yankees, Dodgers, Red Sox, Cubs, in no particular.
Yeah.
You know, I think the Cardinals are the next one on that list.
Cardinals or the Giants would be the ones that I would
say. Yeah, I would probably put the Cardinals ahead of the Giants.
I think I would too.
But
they're in that same grouping, I think.
Yeah, but the Giants are up there. And then after that, it's
a big mishmash.
Yeah, it's... And depending on where you are, like, the Blue Jays are like the entire country's team.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean anything.
They have a pretty
big
following, though.
Yeah.
The Mets have a pretty big following.
Mets do, because they're New York.
The Phillies have a big following because they're a baseball town, and it's a big,
Philadelphia
huge
is way underrated as a sports town.
Yeah.
That is a great, great sports town.
But outside of that, I think you can throw most of these things in a bag and shake them up. But what it boils down to is there's baseball teams that have a national fan base and baseball teams that have a regional fan base.
Yeah.
And the ones you mentioned, the Red Sox, Yankees, Cubs, Dodgers,
Cardinals,
Giants.
National.
That's a national fan base.
It's interesting, though.
It's like the Packers in football. Yeah. Like the Packers, it's weird that they have a national fan base, but they do.
Yeah.
The Patriots have a national fan base. The Cowboys have a national fan base.
The Raiders still
the
do.
Raiders
the Steelers.
Still, yeah, yeah. So those teams have a national fan base. Everybody else has a regional fan base.
You know
base.
What? The 49ers still have one, even though.
Do they?
Yeah, even though
I know they did
that,
when I was a kid.
But no, they still do. There's still a lot of 49ers fans running around. I mean, it's not – I don't think they're on the level as – but for some reason, the Raiders have kept that even though they've been bad.
Yeah.
I think the 49ers, maybe not as much because you're losing a whole generation of people who followed Joe Montana and those kind of guys. But, I mean, that's just – that's the reality. It's the same thing in basketball. I mean, the Lakers are always going to be the Knicks. Even though the Knicks are bad, they're
the
always
going
to – the Bulls. I think the Warriors have created
the Celtics.
That. The Celtics, definitely.
I think the 76ers used to fall into that category back in the day. I don't know that they do anymore, although they're trying to work their way back into it.
Yeah, they definitely were among that. And it's if a Philly team is winning, they're going to have a bigger following than outside of Philly. It's very strange.
And every once in a while there's a guy who comes along like LeBron who takes a team like Miami or Cleveland that otherwise wouldn't have a national following and gives them a national following.
But I think the national following is him because as he left the Heat, as soon as he leaves the Cavs,
it's a LeBron following.
Nobody cares. But the reality is, I think, and it's not always just because you're in a big market, because if Mike Trout played for the Dodgers and not Anaheim, as good as he is, wouldn't we be talking about Mike Trout as one of the biggest stars in all of sports if he played for the Dodgers?
Yeah.
Anaheim doesn't have a following. The White Sox don't have a following the same way the Cubs do. It's interesting to me. I mean, for the most part, big markets dictate it. But so it says the Broncos have a national fan base too. They do, but I don't think they're on the level of those other teams.
Yeah. Although they may be sort of like the 49ers, sort of like a
– when you're good –
the Broncos, one of the things, like teams like the Broncos and the Seahawks, one of their benefits is their regional footprint is massive because there's no other teams anywhere near them.
Right, and so they not only, like Seattle doesn't only have Washington, it has
Oregon, Idaho, Montana.
BC.
Yeah.
I mean, they got a huge following in Canada. And the same thing with the Broncos. They have Colorado, Wyoming.
Utah. New Mexico. Yeah. I mean, to an extent, Arizona.
Yeah, well, I've always thought it weird that Arizona is a cowboy, that Phoenix is a cowboy city.
Yeah, Arizona, it's, and when I lived in New Mexico, it was in order, Cowboys, Broncos, Cardinals.
Yeah.
So, I've always thought it was weird too, but yeah, the Cardinals, even in Arizona, I think it's Cowboys, Broncos, Cardinals.
Yeah, Danny.
Maybe less so now. Yeah. Maybe it's Cowboys, Cardinals, Broncos now, but.
Danny mentioned the Braves have a national following because of TBS.
I think the Braves are kind of like the 49ers, like they used to. They still might have a less than the teams we're talking about. You know, like the Broncos don't have the same kind of national following that the Steelers do.
Right.
The Braves don't have the national following that the Yankees or the Cubs do.
I think 15 years ago that was true. I don't think it's true anymore. And again, you're talking about a whole generation almost that didn't watch them on TBS.
Well, because
I watched the Cubs grow because
the Cubs and the Braves were the only accessible teams.
And growing up, right around high school, that's when I first started getting cable, and I watched every Cubs game because it was during the day and Bobby Dernier and all those guys, and they were easy to root for at the time because they never won. But even when they were good, they were easy to root for. But I got to see more Cubs games than I did Astros games.
Yeah,
it was harder to get Astros games here. And it was kind of the same with the Braves, but they never really resonated the way the Cubs did, I think, nationally. They had a following, but it wasn't like Chicago. Chicago, just there was such a charm to Harry Carey and
the Ivy. Like,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, they just.
And they had all the Ryan Sandberg and all these guys that you wanted to root for. And I think that was kind of the difference. And that's why the Cubs just sort of captured people. But 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And a bunch of people asking about the games tonight. We did cover that in the 4 o'clock hour, but real quickly, yeah, I like UH to cover the 18 tonight. I like the over. I'm staying away from Patriots-Colts. And I have one hockey play over in the Vegas game. That's it.
All right.
So you want more breakdown, go back and listen to the podcast. So... because how dare you, the Orioles are the nation's team. You know, there was a time when Baltimore was Probably a step below all those teams we mentioned tier-wise. But maybe...
Who?
The Orioles. But you're going way, way back.
Yeah.
Same thing with the Pirates. The Pirates were... But again,
but now the Orioles, ago. The Pirates, they're in the same bag as the Padres and the Rays. Like, they're just teams now.
Yeah.
Orioles aren't even the biggest team in their own market. The Nationals have passed them up.
Yeah, and, you know, we're talking about teams that might be disappointing for a certain run. I think this Nationals team would qualify.
Oh, yeah.
They should have at least been to a World Series by now. And I go back to when they stopped on Strasburg his first year. That might have been the team.
Man, we talked about that. We both said, you never know when you're going to get another chance. Go for it.
Yeah.
And, well, oh well.
I found this story today where they went and talked to people who lived to 100 years old and asked them their advice for how to live to 100.
I don't want to live to 100.
I don't either. But
I'm good with like 75.
Some of these are contradictory, I might add. Yeah, I think 75, in between 75 and 80, to me, I'd be fine with.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be...
I saw some guy today who died, Dave Anderson. I don't know who he is, but he was 89. He looked like he was 130. Ugh. I mean, he looked like a ghoul.
Yeah,
I don't want to be that. I don't want to be pooping my pants.
Right. I don't... When I get to that point where I can't make it to the bathroom or my brain's not functioning, I don't want that. I'd rather be gone long before then. But some of these are contradictory, but they polled them. So here's what you get. Ignore traditional dietary advice.
Okay.
But then the second one is eat a healthy diet. So I guess it depends on the old, right?
Yeah.
I remember reading about this one old lady who like drank whiskey and smoked every day of her life. And she made it to like 105. Number three, stay active. That's got to be hard when you get to 100.
Yeah, but I think they mean stay active in like at your age or at my age, maybe even older than us, so you can still, you know.
So when you're 100, you can go on power walks and
right.
Keep a positive attitude.
Okay, that's probably important.
Yeah.
Because I would think, like, by the time I get 75 or 80, I'm just going to be like, oh, I just want to die. You know, and everybody's different.
You're going to be wanting to play with the grandkids and stuff.
Man, there's some people who want to live to 100, and I can see them, like, you know, feeling that way. But, you know, I think there are also people who just want to get out of there.
Well, it's funny because, like, Val's grandmother is 101, and she was diagnosed with breast cancer at, like, 92. And they're like, oh, we're going to do all these treatments. And she's like, no, I'm 92 years old. Don't do it. And she's lived another 9 years. She's sharp as a tack. She still has her hearing. She gets around great. If you saw her, you'd think she was 80.
Have her boobs?
Oh, yeah. She still just never at that age. I guess everybody's got some kind of cancer.
How do they look?
I haven't really noticed. You know, you don't really look at grandma boobs.
I'd look.
You probably would.
I don't know, yeah.
But number five on the list, drink alcohol regularly.
Oh, well, I'll be back to that November 1st.
Which contradicts with number six. Which is abstain from alcohol and smoking.
So this list is all garbage.
Well, it's like, I said they interviewed a bunch of people, and these were their suggestions.
Eat what you want to eat. Number two, only eat healthy stuff. Number three, get plenty of rest. Number four, stay active.
Get a good night's sleep is number eight. Number seven is maintain meaningful relationships.
Okay, like don't be an old cat lady.
Yeah.
Probably hard to stay alive doing that.
Yeah. Number eight, get a good night's sleep. Number nine, this is one you need some work on. Be nice to others.
I'm nice to everybody. Some people came up to me earlier and talked to me. I was super nice to them.
Yeah. I'm always super nice to the Blitzers. Number 10, have faith.
In, like...
Just have faith.
Okay. Like God in the sky or just, like, faith in humanity?
I don't know.
Because I'm losing faith in humanity every day. I don't...
I am, too.
You people are horrible.
Well, you know, it's funny because I used to think, oh, man, 95% of the people are awesome and 5% suck. Each day, I lower my number of the people who are awesome. Like, this week alone, I've doubled the number of texters who are on the do not read list in 1 week.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, they're just so much crap out there. And, you know, I don't know what to do about it. who's the least notable team in MLB, the one that no one gives a bleep about? San Diego, maybe?
Marlins.
Marlins are up there.
Although now Derek Jeter owns them. Yeah. They maybe they climb the list. Oakland's pretty high on that list. The White Sox.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's all because they're just really bad right now. Tampa, they go in ebbs and flows. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. Those are probably the front runners.
I just think sports teams in Florida in general, if you're not good, you're irrelevant. It's funny because Jacksonville had to put tarps over their stadium, and now that they're good, people go. Like Tampa Bay Lightning sell out, right? Everybody goes because they're really good. But Florida, when they're bad, they get like 8,000 fans. And same thing with the Magic. You know, I think there's a that's just a hard place to be successful for some reason.
Well, it's almost all transplants.
Yeah. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in.
We were talking about the fight earlier in the show. They had a press conference today, and tomorrow's weigh-ins, obviously. They're just trying to hype it up real good. So Khabib shows up for the press conference and is there for 15 minutes. No Conor McGregor. He answers questions by himself for 15 minutes. Then he says, "This is big disrespect," and leaves. And then Conor shows up and holds court for about 30, 40 minutes.
Of course.
So wearing nothing but a wife beater, which is
great.
Yeah, he's dressed up for us.
Let's see if he's a Khabib beater.
Khabib said, Dana White keeps saying, "Where is Conor's belts? Where is Conor's belts?" I tell you, one with Tony Ferguson, one with Khabib.
All right, we're going to take a break. Don't go anywhere. A lot more to get to. We're going to have Brad Powers at 6:30. Jared says, "I'm a physical therapy nurse. Biggest advice from all my patients 80 and over is stay active." Yeah, I think if you get to that age and you just decide, "Hey, I'm quitting," that's probably not – you're not going to make it very long. All right, quick break. Don't go anywhere. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5 Sports Map 94.1.
It's a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Bombshells on 45 and Fuquay. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. One more giveaway. Dust off your lederhosen and lace up your dirndls. Carboctoberfest. I don't know why I have so much trouble saying Carboctoberfest. It's not that funny.
Cocktoberfest? Is it funny?
I didn't say that.
John, did he say Cocktoberfest?
I don't know.
No. I'm pretty sure he said Cocktoberfest.
No, I think you heard that because that's what you hear.
I want the tape of this, John. Pull the tape.
It was something like Carbtoberfest. It wasn't that.
I don't know. The people here heard it, too.
No, I think it's because you planted that in your head.
All right. We'll find out soon enough.
Well, this is your damn client, asshole. A-hole.
See, you're out of control right now, yeah. Fred.
All right, at 6:23, fifth caller, you win the tickets. There's also a bunch of them over here with our promo people. So if you come up here and you want them, just walk over to the promo people.
If you want to go to Carboctoberfest, just go come over here and see our promo team. They've got them.
Allegedly.
I can't believe you called me that. Come on, Fred. Jeez. Be a professional for once.
Yeah, you're the one. Never mind. I'm not even going to get started.
First you throw out South Carolina Game Cocktoberfest at me, and then you call me an expletive. I can't believe this.
Yeah.
John, did you pull the tape yet? Is John there?
I have no idea.
Sorry, I'm trying to look for it.
Oh, you look for it. I mean, what do you mean? It was like 30 seconds ago.
No, I have it. I'm trying to listen to see if they actually said it.
This whole setup we have.
Okay.
All right. Fine. If it makes you happy, I'll say I said it, even though I have no idea. But I did call you an a-hole, and I'm not apologizing for that because you are.
I don't need an apology for that.
No.
I don't need an apology for the other thing. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're entertained.
Finish the word?
Huh?
Like, you didn't completely finish the word? Like, you kind of stopped?
Did he stop because I burst into laughter?
No, I can play it for you.
Let's play it.
Dust off your lederhosen and lace up your dirndls, Cocktober.
Oh. You said Cocktober.
Yeah, that's pretty obvious, yeah. Okay. Great.
It's Fred's favorite month of the year, guys.
Yeah, I guess so.
Break out your lederhosen. It's Cocktober.
For some reason, that whole word messes with me. Carboctoberfest.
I mean, it's tricky.
But from now on, you're reading those for your clients. So,
well, we wouldn't have had this golden moment if you
Well,
if I had
it's
been
a
reading.
Golden moment to you. To me, anytime you slip up like that, it sucks.
You've got to think it's funny that you said Cocktober.
No, I don't think it's funny at all. I don't like bleeping up, okay?
Oh, man.
I take this job seriously.
Not me. I'm here making jokes all day.
Yeah, well, that's why you get to read any more Cocktoberfests. They're all yours. All right. Well, we were going to look at lines here. I don't know if we have time now. But
I have tears in my eyes.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I'm glad you're entertained.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. It's Brad Peacocktoberfest is what it is for the guy who can't play. All right. Well, where the hell do we go from here?
No idea. How much time do we have in this segment?
I hate this show so much.
Well, come on, Fred. Don't
be
in a bad
mood.
We have 5 minutes. We can burn through some NFL lines.
All right. Yeah, just in case we can't do them tomorrow because we do have the Astros game.
Yeah, we don't know what tomorrow's going to look
like. Yeah, so we may not be able to do these at 5 o'clock as we always do tomorrow. So Ravens -3 at Browns. Think we both like the Ravens?
I like the Ravens.
Like it, don't love it.
I know that. I know there's a lot of sharp people who are on the Browns.
Every week? Like, everybody's betting the Browns.
I think the Browns are just overvalued in general. I don't buy it. I think the Ravens are legitimately good. And I know people say, well, Joe Flacco's had one good game, and he has. They're still 3-1. He's had one good game.
Well, they're pretty good on defense.
They're great on defense.
And that's the one thing that separates them from everybody else right now. And I'm still not buying Brown stock until they show me something.
I'm with you.
Chiefs -3 against Jaguars.
Are you showing Chiefs -3 even money?
Yes, I am.
Give me Chiefs -3.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that, too.
It's a bad offense versus a bad defense.
Usually bad defense wins.
That's how they've won every game so far. The Chiefs don't seem to mind having a bad defense, and you go out there and run it up. With no Fournette, I mean, T.J. Yeldon is just – he is just not a replacement.
He's below average.
Leonard Fournette.
He's below average. Titans now -5 at Buffalo.
God.
Just give me under 39.5. I can't really
Okay. This is such a spot for Buffalo to come up and do something. But they're about, I want to say they're a yard and a half lower than league average on yards per play. Like, that's horrendous. I think it's over 1.5. I think it's like 5.5 is average. And the Bills are at like 1.7 or 3.7 or 3.8. They're horrific. I think I like the Titans -5, but I'm with you. I like the under more.
I think the Bills will be looking ahead to the Texans.
Oh, yeah. It's a big look ahead.
Obviously. Panthers -6 at Giants. Leaning Panther here.
I lean Panther under the touchdown, too.
Broncos Jets now a pick 'em. Love the Broncos here.
I like the Broncos, too. I see this as a short week for Denver. That's tough.
Disappointing loss, rivalry game, going to the East Coast. All the things I usually bet against, but I actually think the Broncos are a pretty solid
team. I think
they're
better than their record.
Yeah.
And I think the Jets are still one of the least talented teams in the NFL, so I'll take the Broncos.
Steelers -3 against Falcons.
I still like the Falcons. I liked it better at 3.5. And I know they're bad defensively, but guess what? So is Pittsburgh.
Yeah. That over is now up to 57.5.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of points scored. And I like Matt Ryan better than I like Ben Roethlisberger right now.
Lions-Packers now a pick 'em. Give me Packer if it's a pick 'em.
I think I'm going Lions. Okay. I got a feeling.
All right.
That's a worse handicap ever.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I got a feeling about that.
I'm going to call you with my pocket threes because I have a feeling.
But don't act like you don't do that every once in a while.
Yeah, I just make sure I don't show them. Bengals -5.5 against the Dolphins. I think I like Bengal here. But
see, my mind has changed. I'm seeing 6. And I just feel like, you know, maybe – and I looked at the look-ahead lines. This line before last week was 2.5.
Yeah.
Now it's up to 5.5, 6 because the Dolphins got spanked by the Patriots?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. My problem is
I don't really know what either of these teams are. I think the Dolphins are better than I gave them credit for, but I don't think they're good. And the Bengals really are. They might be good. I just don't know. Chargers -5 against the Raiders. I like the Raiders quite a bit here. I think the Chargers are overrated. This is not a home field advantage. It's probably going to be all Raider.
It might be a home field advantage for the Raiders.
Yeah, and I'm getting 5 points. I'll take the Raiders.
I'm with you on that.
49ers -4 against the Cardinals. This is one of those, if you bet, you probably have a problem.
Yeah. This is.
And I have a problem because I'm probably taking the Cardinals plus 4.
I might take
4.
The Cardinals too, yeah. I think Josh Rosen's starting to look better. I think C.J. Beathard came out and, you know, they gave it their all last week and it wasn't enough. I think there's going to be a sort of a deflation from that. And I think the Cardinals are seeing improvements with Josh Rosen, and they think that they're getting close. So, yeah, I'll take the 4 points there.
Vikings-Eagles, Eagles -3 at home. Basically, we're saying these teams are even. I kind of feel like the Vikings are going to bounce back here, even though defensively they have been terrible.
They have been, but so have the Eagles. Yeah. Both these teams, particularly
the secondary. The secondary for both these teams is bad.
And if you ask me who's going to eat more, Kirk Cousins, Stephon Diggs, and Adam Thielen, or Carson Wentz, Nelson Aguilar, Alshon Jeffrey, I'll take the Vikings. I think the Vikings can – in a track meet, I like that Viking squad.
Yeah, although in a track meet, Cousins is going to throw a couple picks too because he always does. I like the over 46.5. I don't like the side at all. Rams -7 at Seahawk.
You know what? Yesterday I felt pretty firmly on Ram, but then I started to think about when was the last time Seattle was a 7-point dog at home? And it went back like 8 years to a playoff game. I forget who it was against. They won.
Was it the Saints?
It was the Saints. Yeah. They won outright.
Yeah, that was like the 13-3 Saints against the 7-9 Seahawks.
And they went to Seattle, and Seattle beat them. So
that was the Marshawn Lynch breakout game.
Yep.
Where he went
nuts. You got to think about the home field advantage there is massive. 7 points is a lot. I'll take the 7. I don't feel great about it because I don't want to bet against the Rams. But if you're, you know, you shouldn't feel like, oh, it's a lock. I mean, sometimes when you're taking 7 points, you kind of got to swallow it.
You know what's sad? I can remember details of that game, and I can't remember my wife's birthday.
That ought
to tell you something. And
isn't your wife's birthday the same as – no, my wife's birthday is
the same
as yours.
Mine. That's why it's easier for me to remember your wife's birthday than it is mine. Texans -3 against Cowboys. I still like Cowboys here getting 3 points. I cannot buy the Texans as a favorite.
I'm with you. I don't love this.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't trust the Cowboys enough to make a bet on it
because I think the Cowboys are pretty bad too.
Yeah,
the Cowboys aren't good. But neither are the Texans, and I'm not letting one win suddenly blind me to think, oh, the Texans are turned a corner, because I don't think they have. I think the Cowboys will present a better defense than the Colts did. Maybe not as explosive of an offense. But I'll take the Cowboys if I'm getting 3. But if this were in Dallas and it was Houston getting 3, I'd probably take the 3 with Houston.
All right. Well, if I keep dropping a-holes on the air, I'm going to need a new career. I wonder where I would go.
You'd go to – well, I don't know if you'd do it.
Or a Rooster Toberfest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mycomputercareer.edu. Guys, if you are not completely happy in the job that you're in, you're not stuck. You can change it. My Computer Career can set you on a new path, making more money, doing something that you love. And go to mycomputercareer.edu, take their free career evaluation today, and you could start your new life as an IT pro in months, not years, months. If you don't have computer experience or training, they don't care. Helping people start an IT career, that's what they do. You attend classes on campus or live online, your choice, just 2 or 3 times a week. You're going to get everything you need to start your new career. And it's more than a school. They help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available for those who qualify, including the GI Bill. It's not rocket science, guys. It's My Computer Career. mycomputercareer.edu. That's mycomputercareer.edu.
This is ESPN 97.5 and Sports Map 94.1.
Hey guys, this is Jong Lee here. Are you planning on proposing soon? If so, listen up. Enter to win a $1,000 credit to Robbins Brothers to put towards the engagement ring of her dreams. All you have to do is go to ESPN975.com, click on Beat Jong's proposal under promotions on the right-hand side of the homepage, and tell us how you're planning on to propose. The winner will be chosen on Monday, October 15th. There's not much time left to enter. To get in now, and you could win a $1,000 credit to Robbins Brothers, the engagement ring store. Now back to Fred and AJ at Bombshells on Fuquay and 45.
You can get a lot of rock for $1,000, I would guess.
A lot of what?
A lot of rock.
Rock?
Rock.
Or
stop. You're pathetic. I hate you. Troy and Georgia State underway. Troy already up 7-0. And, of course, hey, do we have Brad?
UH game kicks at 8 or 7?
7, yeah.
Okay.
Jong's not answering me, so I guess we don't have Brad yet. All right, well, at some point we'll have Brad Powers.
Yeah, we'll talk over the college football line. That's what we've saved it for.
Yeah, and I guess he's not listening anymore. I guess that's what happens when you drop a rooster fest on him.
Yeah, you've thrown it off.
Yeah.
Thrown off the whole day.
Well,
Do we have Brad, Jong?
Okay, so I want to thank all the Blitzers. A lot of Blitzers have come out here today. Really appreciate it. I guess we're in an area where a lot of them work, and appreciate you guys coming out. So I think we're going to be doing the tour of the Bombshells, if I'm not mistaken.
That's kind of what I'm understanding.
Yeah, so this one's on Fuquay and 45. Really cool concept, and the food's really good. These places are huge.
Yeah.
You could fit a small army in here. What was that, John?
He's ready.
Oh, awesome. So
make your introductions.
Let's go to lead college football analyst for pregame.com. I think just complete and total badass is a way to refer to Brad Powers. You could follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. Brad, how you doing, man?
Well, I appreciate the thoughts there. That's some kind compliments there from you guys.
It all goes downhill from here, though. We always start with that, and then
starting with my pick. No, I'm kidding.
Hey, let's start with this game tonight because it's going to kick off here in about 20 minutes or so. UH at home against Tulsa. 18 is the number I'm seeing. And I kind of feel like this UH offense is really coming into its own. Tulsa starting a freshman quarterback, making a switch there. How do you see this game going?
Yeah, I think I'm on an island here. I'm just on the Tulsa side. Not strong, just a lean. And here's what I see. You're right. Houston's offense has really looked good. But my concern is that Houston defense allowing 36 points per game. And I look at Tulsa in the fourth quarter of games, have outscored their opponents 45-19. So if I need a backdoor cover, I think Tulsa's got the ability to do it. And especially Houston's defense is capable of allowing a backdoor cover. So I'm going to lean on Tulsa. It's not one of my top picks of the week. And I'll say this. I'm pretty much on an island. Everyone I know here in Vegas is on the Houston side.
The game that kind of caught my attention from the go this week was the Notre Dame game. And I've been kind of fading Notre Dame all year long until they played Stanford. And then I had to go with Notre Dame as the second most overrated team to me besides Stanford. But I'm still looking for where is a potential loss for them. And really, this is kind of maybe the best shot left. And I was looking at their ATS on the road against top 25 teams, and it's horrendous. And now the number's gotten to 7. I told myself if it gets to 7, I've got to play it, so I did. What are your thoughts on that Virginia Tech game?
I totally agree with you. I mean, I bet it earlier, so shame on me. I got a horrible Virginia Tech ticket already in my pocket. But now that it's 7, and I should have known that the Notre Dame love has gotten to it tight now with already 2 home wins, and keyword being home. Notre Dame, you mentioned it, on the road against ranked teams, since 2006. Forget the spread because we're just talking. Notre Dame's a 7-point favorite here, so the expectation is Notre Dame's going to win this game. They're 3-15 straight up on the road against ranked teams since 2006. It's going to be one of the most hostile environments in college football this year. They're unveiling a Frank Beamer statue. I actually think maybe Virginia Tech upgraded a quarterback. Ryan Willis looked more capable throwing the football than Josh Jackson has in a year and a half, threw for 300-plus yards against Duke last week. I like the Hokies plus the 7.
Oklahoma-Texas, big rivalry game here in-state. OU 7-point favorites. How do you see that one?
Yeah, I mean, the value on Texas has kind of gotten eaten up here. I mean, you could have gotten Texas at 8. Or, if you can shop real hard and get a 7.5, then clearly Texas is my preferred choice there. Here's what I see. Obviously, there's the stats and trends out there. Tom Herman as a dog, as a head coach, 11-1 against the number, 8 outright upsets. But here's the one that I like. I just think Texas, especially defensively, is a bad matchup for Oklahoma, and it's really come to fruition. The last 5 times these two teams have met, Texas is 5-0 against the number, average cover by 15 points per game. Oklahoma's tremendous against everyone else in the Big 12. The problem is Texas defensively isn't like a typical Big 12 defense. I like the Longhorns there plus the points.
Well, I don't know if I should be thinking this or not. I'm starting to think that maybe Colorado is okay. I mean, they've played really a nothing schedule. They played Colorado State, who's a joke. They played Nebraska, who's a mess. New Hampshire and UCLA. I mean, they've played maybe the worst schedule of any team that's 4-0 in the country. But I just feel like this number's a little bit short against Arizona State. What's the feel on that game?
Yeah, I think you broke it down very good. I mean, I want to trust Colorado here. The problem is they just haven't played anybody. I think combined record of their 4 opponents, 1-16 so far. I mean, that's about as bad as it gets. Arizona State, I thought, generally speaking, was overrated coming into the season. They've actually impressed me. I mean, Herm Edwards, and they've been competitive, especially the most impressive game, I thought, Arizona State. Not the win over Michigan State. I thought that was a bad spot for the Spartans. But actually competing against Washington, only losing by a touchdown on the road, I thought that was impressive. I lean Colorado. I don't like it. And I'll tell you guys, Joel Klatt, the Fox national analyst, I mean, went to Colorado, and he's taking Arizona State as his upset of the week. That gives me great pause. When, generally speaking, a homer for Colorado is against his own team.
Brad Powers is our guest. I want to ask you about this A&M-Kentucky game. Kentucky has continued to surprise us week after week, and A&M coming off their worst, really, I think their worst performance of the season.
Kentucky's continued to burn us week after week.
Yeah, well, and surprise.
That's why I think I like Aggie, because they're coming off their worst performance.
Yeah, and A&M minus 5.5 at College Station. What do you think of that one?
I like Texas A&M, and you guys hit the nail on the head. I mean, I liked what I heard from Jimbo Fisher after that game, saying, I mean, they played their worst game of the year by far, and that was the case. Kellen Mond struggled, 0 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. This is, look, Kentucky's exceeded expectations and then some so far, but a little different going to Kyle Field. I mean, it's one thing to go in the swamp and no one has any expectations. They think you're going to get killed like you have for the last 30 years against Florida and pull off an upset. Now there are expectations placed on Kentucky, their best SEC start since 1977. At night, 12th man, laying less than a touchdown. I like this Texas A&M team. It's one of my favorite plays of the week.
I like it less now that it's gotten up to 7, but when it was around 5.5, 6, I was really starting to like Iowa against Minnesota. I just think Minnesota is disastrously bad. I don't think they can score. I don't like Iowa enough that I think I'm willing to give up a touchdown, but I do think that that's the right side. What are your thoughts on that game?
Yeah, again, at an earlier number, one of my top plays of the week, and no question, Iowa. And, man, you talk about a great line. I think it was 3 at the win on Sunday night. Just a very bad opening line. Here's what I do like about Iowa. They're coming off a bye week after they let that game slip away from them against Wisconsin 2 weeks ago. They handle their business, believe it or not, on the road. Last 15 times, Iowa's been a road favorite. 15-0 straight up, 13-1-1 against the number, and I can't wrap my head around how Minnesota can score on this Iowa defense. Iowa right now, number 3 in the country, total defense. And on the flip side, I got a Minnesota team, very banged up at running back, starting a true freshman walk-on at quarterback, got blown out against Maryland in their last game. You're getting crushed by Maryland. I'm not sure you're going to fare much better, even though it's at home. Give me the Hawkeyes.
You may look at the under there, too, then, at 43.
I mean, I want to get margin, so I'm gonna. I mean, my bigger bet's on Iowa, But, and you know, to me, it's, you know, I would definitely lean towards the under. To me, it has the feeling of like a 27-7 type of game.
All right, that's Brad Powers. Follow him on Twitter at BradPowers7. Hey, what do you think about LSU-Florida? Florida getting a little action there from where it opened. LSU now -2.
Yeah, again, I think the value is gone, crossing right through that key three number. I think that's the correct side as far as Florida. You know, I post a lot of my tickets. I got Florida 3.5. At 2, still lean Florida. You look at Dan Mullen, he knows LSU very well. Last 4 years when he was the head coach in Mississippi State, 4-0 against the number, average cover by 15 points per game. Ed Orgeron's exceeded expectations so far, but this is a tough road spot for them. Lower scoring game, lean with the Gators.
One of the teams that I've sort of backed a little bit this year has been Liberty. It's burned me once or twice, but I look at this number against New Mexico State, who, I mean, they were all out to beat UTEP, who I have power rated as the worst team in college football. And I'm only giving 4 points. I know it's on the road, but I think New Mexico State's really horrible. Have you looked at that game at all even?
Yeah, I mean, lean on the Liberty side. Here's what worries me, and I can't believe they did this. I mean, they played on the road in New Mexico last week and then decided for some reason to fly back home. I'm watching Turner Gill's press conference, and it's at home at Liberty, right, in their football facility. Why in the heck would you not stay in New Mexico for a week, fly all the way across back the country to the same state that you were just at? That's the only concern for me, but lean on the Liberty here.
Because they're student-athletes,
exactly.
Brad. They've got classes to attend. Come on.
Yeah, I hear you.
Hey, one more.
Oh, okay.
Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Do you have a feel for Florida State-Miami? It's funny that used to be such a marquee matchup, and now it's kind of fallen to the wayside. I think Florida State is really bad, but I'm not sure that they're 14 points worse than Miami.
Yeah, I agree with that. I lean Florida State, largest underdog role against the Hurricanes since 2002 for them. If they're going to get up for one game, it's this one. My only concern, that Florida State offensive line, atrocious. Bottom five in the country as far as allowing tackles for loss. Miami's number one in the country in tackles for loss on the defensive side of the ball this year. That's the only thing that scares me there, but, man, way too big of a number for a huge rivalry game. Give me the Noles.
One last game to ask you about, and I'm kind of curious to get your thoughts on this. Central Florida -24 against SMU. SMU has looked a lot better on offense since switching quarterbacks. I know Central Florida has just been a machine, but it feels like they're begging me to bet SMU at +24, and I also like the over a little bit at 74. Do you have any thoughts on that game?
Yeah, not strong ones, just a slight lean on SMU. They have seemed to turn the corner here the last few weeks, starting with the Michigan game. Just a slight lean on +24 and over 74.
All right, that's Brad Powers, pregame.com. You can get his picks there. You can follow him on Twitter, man. He's a great follow. You get all kinds of cool information. As I said at the outset, he's a total badass. Brad, appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you again next week.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right. Tell the people about Bill Advisor.
Bill Advisor. Yeah, I've been telling you about Bill Advisor for a while, but maybe you didn't know that they were also in the home insurance business. And if you own your home, you might not be getting the best deal on home insurance, and that can be a costly thing. And shopping for a deal on your policy has always been a pain. It used to take hours to get a decent quote. Then someone made it minutes to save a few percent. Bill Advisor's new system is faster, and you're probably going to save a lot of money. They'll deliver you a firm insurance quote in just 15 seconds using nothing but a text message. Grab your phone right now, text the word money to 232323. They're going to ask for your address, send that back. You'll get a full quote with excellent coverage in seconds. Savings with Bill Advisor are real. The average homeowner is saving over $790 a year. Real coverage, real savings, real fast. It's 2018, guys. Who has 15 minutes anymore? Bill Advisor is going to find you savings in 15 seconds. This is the new way to shop and save big on your home insurance. One more time, text money to 232323 and get your home insurance quote today from Bill Advisor.
Hey, guys, I have to tell you about Zumos, and they have so many great products. If you haven't checked them out yet, the Party Time Sausage, that recipe's been passed down since 1908. About that, the Boudin's fantastic. They've got the Andouille Sausage that's incredible, and they even do deer processing now. Bow hunting season started, and once gun season starts here, you can get your deer process right there at Zumo's. They do all kinds of great stuff. But if you're not into that, well, just go to your grocery store and pick some up. It's Z-U-M-M-O. You can't miss it. And it's going to be in your H-E-B. It's going to be in your Kroger. It's going to be in your Fiesta. Go and get some. There's so many great things you can use it for. We've used that Party Time sausage on homemade pizza. We've used it for breakfast with eggs. I mean, it's fantastic. You can just grill it up. If you're having people over for football this weekend, if you're tailgating at the Texans game, make sure you've got some Zumo's with you. Whether it's the Party Time sausage, the Boudin, the Andouille sausage, they've got all kinds of flavors. It's fantastic. And they've been huge over in the Golden Triangle for years. They're huge in Houston now. You need to get on that Zumo's train. Make sure you make it a Zumo's weekend. Z-U-M-M-O-S. That's Zumo's.
Nobody pray for me. It been a day for me. Yeah.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hey, one more quick plug for SportsMap if you haven't checked it out today. SportsMap.com. Follow us on Twitter at SportsMap, H-O-U. Tons of great stuff on there. Barry's video's up. John Granato's apology to the people of Houston. Still have Lance's column up from yesterday. We've got some of the best bars to watch Astros playoff games on there. Fantasy football under the radar from Josh. Fantasy football rankings from AJ. Cody Stutes has a story on the Red River rivalry. All kinds of stuff. Holly has a video with her report card.
I have a UFC preview tomorrow morning.
I'll be looking forward to reading that. It's going to wrap it up. I want to thank Bombshells for having us out here. I want to thank all the Blitzers who came out. Great job, A.J. Hoffman. Great job, John Lee. I was below average today.
Happy Cocktober.
I was doing great up until that, and that was a fail. But we'll see you at some point tomorrow after the Astros game. Make sure you tune in. Until then, stay sportsy, bitches.
Be humble. Holla, sit down.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1.